Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
Should I sit down? Feels more cozy.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Friends that are in person, friends that are online? Good?
Good.
Just blank faces all across the board. Masks probably hinder, help? Depends what you're going for. Hey, I'm Sarah, if you don't know me. I've only done this like once. So I'm really nervous, but I'm reading off my phone, so if I'm ever like, it's not because you smell. So Chris mentioned last week that our new sermon series is called Inspired, and it's all about the way that the Bible inspires us. And I knew that I was talking this weekend. I had ideas, I was planning for it, and when he mentioned that to me, every idea that I had left my brain immediately. And I was like, well, I have nothing, so. I've read Inspired by Rachel Held Evans, which is all about being inspired by the Bible. But still there was like this resistance that was in me to like the idea of being inspired by the Bible. And it took me a little bit to name what that was. But I realized that my main response to the Bible wasn't inspiration, it was fear. And I think I felt that way for a while, but I was afraid that admitting that to y'all would disqualify me. And mind you, there's a lot of other things that could disqualify me from Christianity, like the fact that I listened to The Cure and Olivia Newton-John on the way to church this morning. And, you know, just some other things. But for some reason, I felt like if I admitted, like, having this resistance to the Bible, I would just be booted or, like, exiled to the desert for 40 years. And then I realized that that happened to people in the Bible, and there might actually be something for me in it. And not to mention Taylor Swift, Justin Vernon, like, they've experienced it too, so I'm not alone in that. But I did have to sit with this resistance that I was feeling. And before I came out, I experienced fear of the Bible, because I was afraid of what I was going to find in it. I was pretty sure that if I engaged with it at all, I would find some things that disqualified me from God's love or from the church or from what I wanted to do with my life, and I was just constantly anticipating rejection. I was just waiting for that to happen. But over the last couple of years of coming out to people, I know that me and God are good. I feel like I'm at a place where, like, we're good. And I know the verses that people are going to use against me most times, and I was prepared for that, but unfortunately, increasingly so over the last couple of years, people have used the Bible as a weapon toward me. And so when Chris asked me what about the Bible inspired me, I was like, I don't know. Pretty big fan of Jesus, but I really wish that there was a verse in the Bible that just said, everyone chill out. Because you know how many problems would be solved if we all just chilled out? Like, everyone just chill. But if that's in the Bible, comment. I don't know, maybe I'm missing it. But my resistance to the Bible was part of why it was hard for me to write this and even show up here. But if I'm further vulnerable, I had a moment while I was thinking about what I would say where I felt like I don't really have anything to offer you guys. And I don't feel like I had anything to say that would like radically change anyone's life. And I was afraid to sit with the reality of how I'm actually doing and where I'm at. And beyond that, my options were to keep face and show up and pretend like I'm killing it and give y'all a message that is 10 out of 10 and have an ounce of the confidence that Chris has every week. Or I could be vulnerable and be honest with you guys. And that was less than ideal. That was not what I wanted to do, but here we are. Also, thinking about writing a sermon, I got stuck because in my brain, a sermon is uplifting, super hopeful, God is good, we're all good, I'm killing it, you're killing it, everything's great all the time, 100%. And I can't offer you that today. So if that was what you were showing up for, sorry. But what I can offer you is honesty. And knowing that most of you are older than me, I wish that I could show up and tell you that I'm killing it. And for a 26-year-old, I have pure gold to offer you, but I don't. And I had to sit with the fact that right now in my life, I feel more hopeless than I have in a really long time. And part of it is circumstantial of everything that's happening. And part of it is that I feel more isolated than I ever have in my life. I feel more alone than I ever have in my life. And I want to believe that God's good. I want to believe that everything is going to work out. And there's a lot of days where I'm not there. And the idea of sharing that with you all is so scary because I'm not on the other side of it yet. It's not pretty. It's not polished. It's not together. And I'm convinced it will disqualify me. I'm convinced that it won't be enough. Because if I don't have anything to offer you guys, then why would you accept me? What reason do you have? And that's ridiculous because I would never hold anyone else to that standard. But in my brain, y'all hold me to that standard. So hopefully that's not true. reflecting on this unpolished reality of where I'm at, and the fact that I was going to face you all and talk to you and talk about the way the Bible inspired me, I realized that what needed to change was my definition of inspired. I needed to change the way that I was thinking of that word. So the operative definition I was using was more so motivation, or the American version of that. So it was perspiration. It was get things done, follow Jesus, kill it. You're doing great. You have tons of hope, positivity. You're doing amazing. And because my relationship with the Bible is so complex, that was not the result I was getting most times that I engaged with the Bible. The Oxford Dictionary definition of inspire is to fill someone with the urge or ability to do or to feel something. And with that definition, I can 100% truthfully say that the Bible inspires me all the time. Sometimes it fills me with the urge to burn buildings down. Sometimes it fills me with the urge to burn it. Sometimes it makes me angry. Sometimes it makes me feel threatened. Sometimes it makes me feel less alone. Sometimes it fills me with the urge to love people a little bit better and be quicker to forgive. Sometimes it makes me feel like, wow, what I'm going through is hard. It's shy in comparison to spending 40 years in the desert. It's shy in comparison to being a slave who is raped and then left for dead when I'm no longer needed. And it can give me perspective. And sometimes I read Ecclesiastes, which if you haven't dipped into that, I'm gonna read a couple quotes for you all. Everything is meaningless, completely meaningless. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. This one's my favorite. I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and madness. I thought, wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. For the wise can see where they're going, and the fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. Both will die. So I said to myself, since I will end up the same as the fool, what's the value of my wisdom? This is also meaningless. For the wise and the foolish both die, and the wise will not be remembered any longer than the fool, and in the days to come, both will be forgotten. So I came to hate life, because everything under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. What? I mean, like, I'm going through it, but dude was going through it. And also, so David's son wrote that, and I think he invented being an Enneagram 5, if you know anything about the Enneagram. You can quote me on that. But I share this not because it's exceptionally inspiring, but because I've had those thoughts recently. And when I think about the stories that are included in the Bible, I see lived experiences, and they fill me with the urge to keep going. Because I'm not the first person to feel this way. I'm not the first person who has had the Bible used against them. I am not the first person to feel hopeless. I'm not the first person to feel distant from God. I am not the first person to feel alone. There's a puppy here, and we're all very excited about it. I'm not the first person to feel isolated. I'm not the first person to be told that the way that I engage with God is wrong, or heretical, or whatever. But I read the Bible, I read the words of Jesus, and I am filled with the urge and ability to show up for people. I'm filled with the urge and ability to show up a little bit differently, because Jesus cares a lot more about how we show up for other people than he cares about how we show up to church. He'd rather we would show up for other people than we show up to church, which, please keep coming. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Chris talked about it a little bit last week. It was a radical shift in the understanding of following and seeking God. It was no longer about rules and doing everything right. It was about your heart and your motivation and what's going on, the why behind the what. And so Matthew 5:23 says, if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Notice, he didn't say when you have something against someone. He said when someone has something against you. That's really different. If I didn't come to church every time I had something against someone, I would never come to church because I'm petty. Maybe y'all are better than me, but the way that Jesus phrased this is so important, because he didn't say, go yell at everyone who's ever hurt you and then come worship me. He said, go apologize. Go clean up your mess. Go reconcile with that person. Go fix it, and then we'll talk. And that is radically different. And I just see that, and I see how God cares so much more about us loving one another and how we show up for one another than God cares about our tithes or our worship. Cool. Just reading the time over here. I also see, do unto others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. God cares about how we show up. God cares about how we treat others, our friends, our family, those who are like us, those who are not like us, those who like us, those who don't like us, those who vote like us, those who don't vote like us. Which brings me to the other Bible, Alicia Keys' book. Go buy it. It's amazing. It's called More Myself. I recently just went on a road trip across New England, and it was perfect and beautiful. But I listened to her audiobook while I was on the trip, and it changed my life. But toward the end of the book, Alicia shares a story about grabbing lunch with some friends. And she's with her writing crew, and somebody posed the question, why are you here? And they didn't mean at the pizza place in Manhattan. They meant the big question of why are you here? And as someone in their 20s, that's something that I've wrestled with a lot, and for which I haven't found an answer that feels all the way true. But her five-word answer feels the most like purpose of anything I've encountered. She said, we're here for one another. It can't be shaken or taken away. I don't have to have all the answers to show up for someone. When over 200,000 people die unnecessarily because of a global pandemic, I can show up and be here for someone who lost their job, who lost a loved one, someone who spends every day tending and caring for people who are sick. When I look at the tragic history and current reality of how non-white people are treated in this country, I can still show up and be here for someone. I can show up in protest of the violence and the unjust systems that exist. I can show up on the side of the road and put my body in between six police officers and a black man. I can show up by making phone calls to the Louisville, Minneapolis, Kenosha police and local government and say that the follow through on the injustice that was done toward Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Jacob Blake, I can fight for justice on their behalf and their family's behalf. Even when I don't feel like I have goals or purpose that I'm moving toward, I can still show up when a friend calls me from the hospital. I can show up when someone's scared to come out to their family, or they're going through a separation and co-parenting is really tricky, or when someone feels really alone. I can still show up. And I hope, and I've sometimes experienced, that people will show up for me when I'm the one in that position. Do unto others whatever you would like them to do to you. I want people to show up for me. So I'm going to show up for people, and I'm going to show up for myself. Maybe you find yourself in a similar position to me or David's son, where you question your purpose. You question what it is that you're moving toward. Maybe you question what the meaning of all this is. Maybe other people have told you that the way that you engage with the Bible or God is wrong. Maybe you've been told that where you're at is not God's best for you. Maybe you've been asked to defend your existence. And maybe you've had a hard time being inspired by the Bible. And maybe not. Maybe you have an awesome relationship with the Bible. Maybe you can see into and beyond the humanness of the Bible and see this really extravagant beauty in love and truth. Maybe you read your Bible every day and you can engage with God authentically in a way that's not shaming or triggering. And that's beautiful and that's good. And it all belongs. Alicia Keys wrote, it's not about me, it's about we. Let's create a coalition of all of us who want to make a difference. It starts with ourselves, and then our families, and then our communities, and then the world. So I am here for you. What are you here for? What is your gift to the world? Your gift to the world is you. The truest version of you, the best, the worst, the beautiful, unpolished, unhinged, uncut, unedited, you. Because if we are all here for one another, There will be days when you are killing it. There will be moments and seasons where you have hope, you have energy, you have resources. And on those days, give of yourself. Show up for people. Show up for anyone who expresses need, whether or not they politically agree with you or are in your close circle of friends or family. Be generous while you have it, because there will also be days when you're going through it. There will be weeks when you can barely get out of bed, when the idea of making dinner for your children seems impossible, when going to church or a family function or work takes every ounce of energy that you have. And on those days, I hope that you ask for help. I hope that you reach out and let people know that you need them to show up for you. Because at the end of the day, if you lose your house or your job, if I lose someone close to me or all my money or mental health has kicked me to the ground, we still have each other. And that's kind of the only constant. On days when we don't know why we're here, at least we know that we're both here and we're all here. So let me say this. If you're going through it right now, I see you and I know that feeling. And I'm here for you in whatever capacity. Because if the church ain't that, then what are we doing? Let's be here for one another, because we are all that we have. I'm gonna pray, and then Steve's gonna play a song that I think sums this up pretty well. But yeah, God, I thank you that you see us no matter where we're at. God, I thank you that who you are exists beyond the Bible and the way that people have used it for good and for bad. That you are good beyond our current reality. And God, would you teach us how to show up for one another? Would you teach us to see a need? And would you fill us with the generous heart to give of ourselves when we have it? And God, would you give us the courage to reach out when we don't have it? Would you give us boldness to be authentic, no matter what that looks like? Thank you for your goodness, even when we can't see it. Amen. Things you need to borrow.
strong without the offense. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long that I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Just call on me, brother. Yeah.